Glenn mentioned church at the Salt Mine. Sunday morning service here at the Salt Mine. You guys know, as the Lord starts speaking through me, I just start saying stuff that I sense that the Lord wanting to for you to hear. So buckle up. I don't know, saddle up. I don't know, do you say buckle up or buckle down or bear down? Bear down, I don't know, whatever you say. As all of the above, get ready. Prepare yourself to hear from the Lord. You know, the things about what we do here, Sunday morning service, you know, just giving you a heads up, because I like to do that. We like to do that on a regular basis. We encourage participation. If you have a question, a comment, please raise your hand. If I don't see it, somebody will see it and point it out. And we try to ask if you do have is something that, if you feel, sense the Holy Spirit wanting you to speak something, to say something, to ask something, please do not hesitate. And that's what Glenn was alluding to, is we call it an open fellowship. You know, our doors are open. This fellowship, this service is open. It's a time that we want to just really engage with each other. I believe that's a biblical recipe, if you will, for God. As we gather together, fellowship, it's not to be stuffy and I'm not the show, Mike's not the show, but we are leaders to direct, and as the Lord leads us, to direct us to hear from the Lord. And I agree with Glenn. Do you want to hear from the Lord today? Yeah. All right. So I will ask, yes, for you to agree. What is a yes and amen? What is that referring to when we say yes and amen? What do we mean by that? Yes, so shall it be. I am in agreement. And when I say yes and amen, not only am I agreeing to it, but I'm actually like, I am committing to that which was just proclaimed as being, I'm saying, I am receiving that for my life. So I'm saying yes and amen, right? And guess what? I don't know if you know this or not, but all of, I don't know if you guys know what all means. Do you know what all means? All. Okay, good. You guys are smart. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news. Just take it and say, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I love to share the word of God. I love to preach. I love to do what I'm doing right here and now, because the Lord is really good. He's going to speak to us today. But I think that there's an issue, a subject that the Lord has not allowed. He is not, how do I say it? Say it correctly, Eric. Okay. He has not allowed this subject to be removed from my mindset, from the forefront of my thinking. So I need to go there, and that's where I want to go. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions to get us thinking, so you get into the mindset of Eric, if you will. How do we turn our stumbling stones into stepping stones? Just a question, a thought-provoking question. How do we, and if you want to personalize it, how do I turn my stumbling stones into stepping stones? Or here's another way to even word it that might get a little bit like into the nitty-gritty part of it. How do I turn my offenses into opportunities? First, I think we need to come to realize this very one thing that Jesus said, and he said it in Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. I'm there in the Bible right now. I think we need to realize that offenses, stumbling stones in our walk are inevitable. You need to realize that. We all need to realize that. And I think it's one of the things that we seem to want. We want to think that if I stumble, if I have an offense, or if there's something, that it's the problem of other people. It's other people's problems. Like I one of my favorite phrases, if you want to say it and just really rub me wrong, say this phrase: "You pushed my button." Yeah, you pushed my button. Just think about that phrase for a second. Just think about it. Whose button is it? Oh, it was my button. It was my button that you pushed. What I'm getting at is this, is we need to, and I believe we need to, and I think that for the Lord to really move in our midst. Actually, the wording I need to word it is for the Lord to have the freedom to move freely amongst us, through us, and in us. There's things that we've got to come to an agreement on. And I think that because stumbling stones and offenses are barriers, are things that have tripped us up, that keep us from walking straight and narrow, from walking steady, when you think about a stumbling stone, if a stumbling stone trips you up, where does that leave you? On the ground. On the ground. Injured, hurt, possibly even disabled. You guys with me? Okay, good. So we need to realize that, yes, they're inevitable, as Jesus said. Let me read it. Jesus said it, Matthew 18:7. It says, "Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come." See, he points it out really clearly. Does anybody struggle with that verse just a little bit? Does it confuse you just slightly? To where it's like, what in the world is Jesus saying there? So, okay, Sandra, you and I, we're the only ones that are confused by this. Everybody else totally gets it. So can you guys explain it to me? Jesus is making a very clear statement, and we're going to go back to, oh gosh, this is going to be fun. We're going to go back and forth in the context of this phrase that he makes all over the place in this whole passage of Scripture, this interaction that he has with his disciples, this conversation that he has with those followers of his. But I think we need to lay some groundwork down first, because I think when we come to the place of understanding and realizing that offenses and stumbling stones, there's two different words there that he uses that are being used there that are trying to describe what they actually are. You know, the word that is used for offense in the Greek is a word, it's pronounced skandalon, which actually is a word that we derive the word scandal from. It appears 15 times in the New Testament in verses that are referring to, and I could give you a list of the verses. It's Matthew 13:41, Matthew 16:23, Matthew 18:7, Luke 17:1. Romans 9:33, 14:13, 16:17. 1 Corinthians 1:23, Galatians 5:11. And a verse we're going to discuss further on is 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 8. 1 John 2:10 and Revelation 2:14. These are all verses that actually they use the word scandalon, which actually literally means to trip somebody up, or to cause someone to sin, to bring about. In fact, that verse in different translations, it uses different wordings. The New King James is the only one that uses the word offense. The New Living Bible refers to it as a to trip somebody up. The New Living Translation, if I'm remembering what it says those who cause someone to fall into temptation. So what we're dealing with is this very thing that Jesus is pointing out very clearly, and they need us to realize this is a part of our life. This is a part of the world we live in, that everywhere we go, it's inevitable that there's going to be stumbling stones, there's going to be offenses in our lives on a regular basis. It's inevitable. They are there. They must come. You guys hearing me on that? Because that's what Jesus said. So if we come to that agreement, and then the other word for stumbling stone is proskoma, which is really a stone of stumbling. It's the picture of a pathway, a walkway, and on this walkway, out protrudes from the earth. And I don't know if have you ever been intrigued by rock formations. And has that ever intrigued anybody? That really intrigues me to where when I go on hikes or do something, I'm just so intrigued by rock formations and how they've come about. And then have you ever noticed, if you've paid attention to, like, I pay attention to things in yards and walkways, all of a sudden there'll be a rock that seems to be forming out of the ground. It seems to be coming up out of the ground. And that's what he's referring to as a stumbling stone. It's as though he's describing a rock that comes out of the ground, that protrudes out in the middle of a pathway high enough to actually trip people up. Right? So that's what a stumbling stone, he says, they are inevitable. They do, in fact, Luke says it in a different way. He says, there's no way that they cannot be. So in other words, it's inevitable. Stumbling stones and offenses. Now let's just get a little personal here real quick. As I discuss this and open this up, I know that the Holy Spirit is going to speak things into your lives that you're going to say, okay, there's something there that I didn't see before and I'm seeing now. And as the Holy Spirit does speak that thing, and it might not have anything to do or might not be the words that I say, pay attention to what God is speaking into your heart and into your spirit. And I'm going to encourage you to be obedient to what it is that God's leading you to do, to be free from tripping up. I believe that we can be free from being tripped up. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace, Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. I was so inspired this last week to this, coming to this knowledge of the one thing that God says, I want to give to you as my followers. I want to pour out on you as my followers something that cannot be measured, and it's peace. You know, so many things in life we measure, we calculate. Blake and I are big baseball fans, and I don't know who else in here is a baseball fan right now. Have you noticed that there's something that they're doing now that is super weird that us old school baseball fans were looking at like, okay, that's a little weird, but it's working? It's called analytics. And they're analyzing where guys will hit the ball at certain places at certain times, and they're playing the percentages. And if it's just one percentage more, they'll move one of the position players to the place where he hits it just a little bit more part of the time. And it's called analytics. It's like, and they measure everything. I think it's pretty cool. It's smart. It's what we've, you know, it's what we do with everything in life. We measure everything. Our bank accounts, our height. You know, it's a lot easier to count the hairs on your head when you get older. So you measure these things. But there's something that God is so really cool at, is pouring into us an immeasurable peace. He calls it a peace that surpasses even understanding, a peace that you can't measure. And he refers to it in Psalm 119, a great peace that actually will sustain you and keep you from stumbling. But how do we acquire that great peace that keeps us from stumbling? What did he say? Those who love your word, your law, your instructions, those who are passionate about following God's commands. Those who take God's word and say, you know what, this word of God is written and is inspired by the Holy Spirit to give me life. And it's there to instruct me. And if I fall in love with this word of God, the word of God, it will keep me, it'll give me a peace about my life, and actually will keep me from stumbling. So there's a real easy recipe to turning our stumbling stones into stepping stones. In other words, the things in my life, because we're going to talk about stumbling stones. Let's just talk about it. What is a stumbling stone? An offense, something that trips you up. What is a stumbling stone? Everyone is going to have a different thing in your life. But I notice actual stumbling stones in my life that are there, it seems like, making an attempt to trip me up. I'll just share one or two. And you guys, if anybody wants to share one or two with you, me with the fellowship, that's great too. But the stones that trip me up in my life are a lot of it. It's my ideal. I can never say that word right. My ideals of how not only I should live my life, but how I look at how others should live their lives. And they become a stumbling stone for me, a trip hazard for me. So it's my expectations of myself, of how I should perform, of how I should do things. Like, I'll go back to baseball. When I get up, and yes, it's a slow pitch softball, it's a big fat yellow ball. I mean, it really is big and fat, and it's slowly pitched to us. And my expectation of myself is to hit that stinking ball over the fence every time. That's because I know I can do it, and I know I should do it. So that's what I want to do. That's what I expect myself to do. Now, do I do it every time? Absolutely not. So do I then just say, well, gosh, I'm just a loser and nobody, I can't do anything right? Do I use that as a stepping stone, or do I let it stumble me, trip me up? That's a simple little illustration, but how many of you come into this room on a Sunday morning salt mine service and have an expectation of what should happen? Don't give me your spiritual over spiritual answers. I just want to see God. I want to meet God. I want to hear God. I know that. I know that. I'm not making fun of you that statement. But I'm asking you to get real. How many of you have an expectation to be spoken to be presented kindly to actually somebody to greet you kindly? How many of you have an expectation for somebody to pay attention to you? Oh, here's one that I get all the time because, you know, I'm the pastor here. So the pastor's supposed to know what's going on in everybody's life. And when I do know what's going on, and if I don't come up to you and ask you how that thing is going on in your life, boy, you walk out of here like he didn't even pay attention to me. No, and what I'm presenting, I know that's all focused on me, but what I'm saying is this, is how many of us do those simple little things that we actually put into play. We actually put into play a stumbling stone, and then We trip over it, and then I'm mad at you because you caused me to trip. You pushed my button. Hello? Nobody plays that game? Oh, okay. I thought I was the only one that played that game. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You know, and I'm going to try to, how do I do that? I'm going to try to, I'm going to say it in a kind way, dumb down Thomas Aquinas' words. He makes a very, very clear distinction between the word, when we take the word offense, there's a clear distinction between understanding that it's also meaning the word scandal. And there's when somebody is making a deliberate attempt to trip you up, that's called maliciously scandalous, right? That's actually referred to as I'm attempting to, and that's an evil thing that somebody's attempting to do, to maliciously trying to trip you up. Hello? And that person is then being malicious, hateful, if you will, even in the point of being evil, where they attempt to trip you up. They put something in your path so that you'll trip on it. Hello? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And I know nobody here relates to even at all even have that thought. But then there's this other issue of scandal that I think is a little bit more down home to where it reaches us. Is it's almost like this, and this is how Thomas Aquinas puts it. He says, if a striving student makes valiant attempts to get the best grade to where he gets an A+ in the class, and that striving student makes his valiant attempt to get the best grade in the class, what he also is doing is running the risk of causing envy in other students and therefore tripping them up. Does that make sense to you? And do you see the vast difference of there still is a trip up, there still is an offense, but one is a malicious attempt to offend you, trip you up, and the other is, I'm just trying to do life really good. And some of you get tripped up at it. Hello? Yeah. Somebody told me one time, you know, you got to be careful how much you share about how good your kids are doing because it trips people up. And I think there's a truth to that. But at the same time, at the same breath, I believe we are to give us, I think that as I share with you things about my life, my failures, my successes, the things that are going good, the things that are going bad, it's not an attempt to trip you up, but it's an attempt to make, if it is something that's tripping you, then convert it, turn it into a stepping stone. Use it to grow with. If it's something that bothers you about how I do things as a husband, as a dad, as a Christian, as a pastor, then let it be converted to grow you. Hello? You guys following with me on that? I think it's a foundational truth to say, I'm going to take the stones in my life that may be placed in the way to trip me up, and I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them to build a mighty house. A mighty house on a strong and sure foundation that is Christ. And it's being obedient to the Word of God. You guys know my passion for the Word of God because I share it, and you see me, and anybody that runs with me, rides with me, lives with me, they see that my life is committed to living the Word of God out on a regular basis, right? You guys see that. I boast in that in the Lord, not in myself. Hello? You guys got to give me the freedom to boast in the Lord in that. Good. So I got two things that, real quick, two reasons why we stumble, and they're very clear in the Bible, and then I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 18 to talk about some things that I think are super awesome. Two reasons we stumble. One is this. We stumble because of just plain old simple disobedience. You guys with me? You guys still awake? Okay, are you wanting to hear this one though? I don't know. Okay. First, we'll pass. I like that. Steve's like, can go on number two. I don't know. Number two is just as brutal, but let's go with number one. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4, says this. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. I got to tell you something real quick this morning. Jesus, sitting on the throne of thrones as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was pleased by your praise. He gave me just a small glimpse into the smile that you put on his face this morning by lifting his name up. And it's as though he wanted to say, I am holy, 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 and I am worthy of your praise, and well done, good and faithful servant, for praising my name. That was good. I was supposed to say it a while ago, so forgive me for being disobedient. Oh gosh, that was a confession that I didn't intend to do. Okay. You are offering up to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, it's the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling. A stone of stumbling to those who are disobedient. And a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Yes, the context is in regards to the Israelites who have rejected Jesus as Messiah, as Savior, to them themselves. But I'm going to point out something very clear. And I believe it's to be very clear. That when we disobey the directions and the directives of the Holy Word of God, when you disobey what God's word says, it will become a stumbling stone for you. Disobedient to God's word will become a stumbling stone to you. When we have issue and take issue, when we become disobedient to the directive to give as the Lord has given to you, to give back to God 10%, the tithe, what we call it, when we disobey that directive, that very topic always becomes a rock of offense to you. I'm not asking you to raise a hand or identify with it, but because I know it. I know it in my own personal life, and I know it in other people's lives. Those that struggle with giving tithes are simply struggling with it because they have disobeyed the directive to tithe. And it's become an offense to them. To where every time the preacher, the pastor, or anybody talks about giving, boom, I'm offended. So it snaps like that. So if you felt it snap, that's where you're at. You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, don't profess it. Just obey. Just repent and do what's right. Obey the word of God. And the giving of the offering, oh my goodness, you guys want me to go there for just a second? I'm going to tell you this is exciting because the giving of the offering is like what we're doing when we enhance the gospel. When I'm talking about we embellish the gospel, we spread the gospel, we say yes to missionaries and how much do you need? Let's give to that which is in need right now. So we look for opportunities instead of look for the bathroom when it's time to give. Hello? The bathroom's that way, by the way. That's just one little issue. That's one of many. Because we're going to deal with the biggest one, and that's forgiveness. That's the biggest one. Number two, we stumble because of our lack of faith. Romans chapter 9. Verse 30 through 33 says this: What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. And for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Very simply, when we lack faith to just trust God, where we're at, what God is doing, when we lack faith, when our faith is just not there, when we choose to trust ourselves, because that's what he's describing here, is this very thing that, yeah, we could blame it on all these Israelites that, you know, they didn't see Jesus as the Messiah, so they didn't have the faith. But I'm going to tell you, we're just as guilty. Whenever I tap into my own works and my own power to get things done, to fix the problems, to make things right, whenever I rely on myself, I am lacking faith. Whenever I trust in me and not in God, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to trip. You're going to trip. All of us, we trip when we trust ourselves. That's what he's really saying there, right? You guys seeing that? So when we disobey and when we don't trust, we stumble over the very things in our lives that are meant to give us a stepping stone, to be something to walk on. Hello? Did you guys hear that? That was a good one. That wasn't in my notes. The very things that we are, that are meant to give us a pathway, are the things that we're tripping up on. Did you guys hear that? I just heard something really cool, and it was really neat. I want to share it with you guys. The very thing that is meant to give me a straight and narrow path, if I don't trust and obey, is the thing that's tripping me up. Tithing, for example, is the very thing that's a set. No, this is hurting inside of me. Tithing is meant to free you from financial burden. Hallelujah. Man. It's the very thing that's meant to set you on a path of straightness and rightness to where we do not stumble. And yet it's the thing that we let trip me up. Why do I do that? Because I do not trust and obey. You know, the very thing that caused, let's go back to scripture for a second, and the very thing that caused Peter to stumble was his fear of man, and the very thing that caused him to stumble when Jesus said, "You're going to deny me three times," he said, "Never will I ever do that." And it was the simplest things of saying, "Do you follow him? Do you follow him? Do you follow him?" And he, in that fear of man, is the thing that caused him to stumble. And it was the very thing that Jesus came back to and said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, yes, yes, you know I do, you know I do. Feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, and be my rock. Be my rock. Be the thing that I'm going to build the church on, which is the truth of who I am in you." And it was that very thing that Peter was tripping up on that became his walk path. He became so bold. Remember, he became so bold that he was beaten and flogged, and they said, "Don't talk about this Jesus anymore." And his very next phrase out of his mouth was like, "How dare you to say I cannot follow, we must obey God rather than men." And then they went out and they prayed, "God, give us more boldness to talk more about Jesus." That's awesome. You guys getting that? That's the very thing that may be tripping you up, is the very thing that God may be keeping in your life to give you a walkway of growth and strength in him and on him. You guys hearing that? That's awesome. So let me, there is a phrase, and I'm going to the phrase that the Lord gave me this morning says, in the toiling of life, it's inevitable that stones will appear. And I'm getting the picture of a farmer that's toiling up the ground. And as a farmer toils up the ground, the stones come to the surface all the time. Stones that weren't there 1 year become there next year. It's like, what? How did that happen? How did they weren't there just a year ago, and now this place is, the ground is full of stones again that weren't there. It's called life. And in the very toiling of life, stones will appear. Will you stumble on them or will you use them to build your house on the foundation? I know I said I'm going to go back to Matthew because I think it's really good, but I do want to, because I think it's a great passage to look at intently. Robin and I watched the movie, I Can Only Imagine. How many of you have seen that movie yet so far? Okay, I won't. I'll just say this, that it wrecked me. I was hesitant to watch it for a few days simply because Robin warned me. She'd seen it previous, so she knew. She said, it's going to wreck you. And she was right. I don't think I didn't cry for not one moment. I don't know if it was just, maybe she set me up because she said it was going to, so I let it, but I don't know. It just was, God was speaking something really clear that I wanted us to hear even this morning, because I think it's appropriately true and correct and needing for all of us to hear. My life as a child growing up was so traumatic, so difficult as a child, that I don't realize how many places in my mind and in my heart that I placed off in the distance so that I wouldn't deal with it or wouldn't have to deal with it or because I didn't know how to deal with it. But as I watched that movie, it's just like everything was coming up. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to go to the bathroom. And she's over there kind of laughing, but at the same time, she wasn't laughing at me. She was just, what I want to say in that is, as we discuss this afterwards, is what is it that caused such traumatic things to happen in your life and even in the man's life, who's the singer of Mercy Me, Bart Millard, that caused you guys to use the trauma in your life to build something amazing? What caused that? Why is it that your life was taken and so many things in your life were the abuse, the ridicule. I mean, the names that still stick in my head of what my stepdad called me as a child are absolutely heinous. And they're things that I wouldn't say even in private. And that's what he referred to me as. He had nicknames for me that were so degrading that I didn't know. I thought that's who I was. And that's this Bart, as he shares his story. And if you get the video, watch his story too. Watch his testimony. It's really good stuff. I'm gonna encourage you to do that. But there's this real thing that happens when we simply say, I start being obedient to the Word of God. And you see forgiveness. Forgiveness sets me free from being tripped up on the ways that my stepdad treated me, the ways that he grew me, the ways that he beat me and abused me. That doesn't trip me up any longer. There's nothing that he can, that the memory of him in my life causes me to trip up any longer. There's no offense there. There's no offense there. And you know what? There, by all rights, there should be a mountain of an offense there. I have every right to hate and to not forgive and to blame. I have every right under this world to do that, except one, is that we have a Jesus, a Savior, a God who took my sin, took his sin, and nailed it to the cross. And therefore, my right to not forgive is wiped clean. It's wiped. I have no right to not forgive. Because in reality, I didn't earn forgiveness. I did nothing to earn forgiveness. You did nothing. You did not live right enough to get forgiveness. I'm sorry to say that if you think you did. I'm sorry if that offends you. No, I'm not. And when we walk forward, when we become obedient, because that's exactly what he says. So I'm gonna go into it. I got enough time to do it. I'm just gonna do it because it's so good. I'm gonna tell you, this whole passage of scripture is absolutely amazing. I want you to listen to this. I'm gonna jump back as I stopped here at Matthew chapter 18. I did something and I went back to Matthew 17, and this is so, it's like Jesus really, you just so mess with us. Jesus messes with our ideals in such a great way that it's like, I just want to, like, why did you have to say it like that? And he says it just like this. So listen, follow with me. This is verse 24 of chapter 17. He says, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher, does this Jesus pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, and this is what he says. Listen to this phrase. I want you guys to pay attention to this very closely, because I think it's going to, if it doesn't blow your ideals out of the water, I don't know what will. But listen to this. It says, what do you think, Simon? This is referring to Peter. From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? And Peter said to him, from strangers. And Jesus said to him, then sons are free. Do you hear that? Do you hear what Jesus is saying there? Listen real quick though. I want you to notice that. So basically what Jesus is saying, because we are citizens, we are not obligated to pay this temple tax. This isn't an obligation for us. We are sons. We are children of Israel. We're not obligated to pay that tax. Do you know what Jesus does anyway? Listen to this. I'm telling you guys. You guys want to get messed with? No. Nevertheless, lest we offend them. Are you kidding me? Go to the sea, cast the hook in, take a fish, it comes out first, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take it, take that, and give it to them for me and you. Oh, man, are you guys kidding me? Do you guys hear what just happened there? Two things happened. First, he said this. Don't rest on your principles. You may have established a principle that you may think surpasses my word, and it doesn't. And it's that very thing that causes you to trip up. That gets really deep. We live in a conservative city, in a conservative county, in a non-conservative state. We get really confused and mixed up on our religious, political, spiritual, social principles. You and I are called to be followers of Christ, obedient to the Word of God, living by faith. That's what we're called to do. And if you think that your principle matters more than the obedience to God's Word, then you are going to trip. You're going to stumble and you're going to fall flat on your face. But here's the next thing that he does. Trust me and I'll take care of it. Trust me and I'll take care of it. Go fishing. Do you know how many times I ask God to do that? I'm going to say, God, tell me where to drop a line. Tell me where to drop a line, and I'm dropping a line. I'm thinking about keeping a fishing pole in my truck. Maybe I am, and I don't even realize it. That's so awesome to me, because Jesus, he cared more about offending tax collectors, Pharisees, people that were looking to trip him up, he was concerned about them being tripped up by his actions. Oh, that ought to be convicting to a lot of us, shouldn't it? That gets deep, doesn't it? Oh, you guys want me to go on? Just for a minute, okay. Because now chapter 18 says, and then the disciples, they came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? they're always thinking about others, weren't they? And then Jesus called a little child to him and sat in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. As my granddaughter Addie would say, in the deep, dark depths. She's learned a phrase that is, I don't know where she got it, but she plays a game and she says, Papa, I'm going to put you in the deep, dark depths. Like, ah, so we play a game of me getting stuck in the deep, dark depths. Yeah, that was super duper cute, except when I get stuck in the deep, dark depths. And then he says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom offenses come. And then he gets right into this next phrase that I think we've kind of taken out of context at times. He says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and cast into hellfire. And then he goes into these parables of the lost sheep and the sinning brother. What he's tying together is this very real truth. And it's a very real truth that the hand that causes us to sin, the eye that causes us to sin, it's not these things that we, these are things that we've set up, that we have allowed offenses to as be established in our life that trip me up. Because it's the wording that he uses, the causing to sin is those that cause you to stumble, those that cause you to be tripped up, those that cause offense in your life. If those things in your life have caused you to take offense and caused you to stumble, it's those things, it's that which you need to be removed. Let me tell you an example. Linda, I want to get your... How many of you in here like the music in here? This is just a really, really, really simple example. There's some of you... And I thank you for raising your hand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Is the music too loud for some? Okay, well, here's what I've noticed, this one thing that somebody does in the midst of our fellowship, and I think it's really awesome, because instead of it being a complaint to where I come in and I say, I'm not coming because the music's too loud. I'm not going to be a part of that because they don't play this music that I like to hear. And instead, what they do is they stand in a place where it's not blaring in their ears because they want to be up front, but they don't want it to be so loud that they can't hear themselves be a part of it. You guys hearing with me on this? What they did, instead of being offended, taking offense and letting it trip them up, they've removed it, they've taken it, they've cut it off to where I say, I'm not going to let that offend me. Instead, I'm going to take an action so that I can still be in good graces and in the presence of God. You guys hearing me on that? I know that's so simple, but it's just a simple things that we need to be obedient to, that we need to start with, and we need to be practicing on a regular basis. Hello? It's the simplest small things that really measure up and start making the big things in our lives. We get offended and we take offense and we let things stumble us up that are so petty. That are so petty. And we need to walk forward. Instead of using that thing to letting that thing trip you up, cut it off. Don't let it trip you up. Instead, cut it off so that it doesn't trip you up. Hello? Yeah. Yeah. It's really simple. I know it, but I'm not saying it's easy. It's a simple concept. that when we obey the Lord in it, I believe that He, the Holy Spirit, is looking to just pour out into us. And I think sometimes it's the offenses that we have built up. Because really, it's almost even the wording becomes fences to keep the hurt out. And you guys know the next phrase behind this. When we attempt to keep pain out, we also are keeping the love of God from permeating our hearts and penetrating our hearts. Keeping pain out keeps love out. You can't do it. Hello? You guys know that that's a truth, right? You guys know that that's a truth. If you think that you can guard yourself from pain and hurt by staying offended, what you're also doing is you're keeping the love of God, the presence of God, from penetrating your heart and soul. And we're all in the same boat as this. That's what's such an encouraging thing. You know, just as the last thing I want us to hear is that Jesus is a rock. And that rock is either a rock that we build our life on or a rock that we stumble on. I think it's a place that we need to be extremely honest. God's word, and if you're honest, I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to give you a little disclaimer. If you're honest, God's word will offend you. It will offend you. It will offend you. Because it's going to cause you and I to be challenged to lay aside my ideals, my will, and say, it's you that I must follow. And I know in my own life, whenever I put myself first, whenever I am about me, every time I'm about me in any area of my life, I have to lay this aside so that I can be in charge. And I'm thinking, and every time I do that, and here's the sickening, saddening irony of it, is we think that if I make it about me and make me important and I make me number one, I'm going to be better for it because I'm thinking of me because nobody else is thinking of me, so I must think of me first. And every time I do that, it makes me worse, not better. And it makes me trip on the tiniest little pebbles. It's when I recognize it, and I'm so grateful I have a graceful, loving, wise wife that is able to so many times see when I'm tripping up on pebbles and say, "Eric, you're just off right now." And I'm like, I don't, what do you mean? Oh, okay, that's what you mean. And every time I humble myself and just put Him on the throne and just obey the Word and trust the Word in my life, man, it's as though there's a peace. It's as though there's a real peace that surpasses all sort of measurement and understanding that carries me and walks me on a path of no stumbling. And that's all God's glory. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you that, you know, that I'm just so grateful that the way that you've said things, Jesus, are there. It's out there, and we're all destined to deal with stones. We're all going to be facing them. So there's nobody in the room that's extra special. There's none of us here that don't deal with it. That we're all in this together. And as we walk forward in you, and as you fill us with your Spirit this morning to trust you, to obey you, to know you, that you will keep our feet from stumbling. And yes, we are so grateful to know that when we do trip, or when we do sink, that your hand is right there to pick us up. Your loving arm is not too short to reach down into any depths, any darkness that I've put myself in, and pull me up out of it. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy, your kindness that leads us to repentance. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Amen.